Hey, good morning, Fairhaven. My name's Jeremy. I'm one of the pastors here. And this morning, it was not my intention to film here in my living room. Actually, as I started thinking about today, what I really wanted to do is I hoped that I was going to be able to bring you on kind of a little bit of a field trip, so to say. I wanted to actually bring you to the church where I grew up, to the church that holds so many of the memories of my childhood, to the place where I learned about what it means to be the church, what is the church, to the church where I first learned the language of God and following Jesus. I wanted to bring you back there. And there were a number of things I wanted to show you in that place. There's this tree right in the front of the church. I wanted to show you that tree because I have so many memories that happened at that tree. See, there was, right at the front of the church, there was this tree kind of behind a little kind of short brick wall. And this tree, I've never seen anything like it. It had these berries that almost had these little like prickly spike things on them. So 8-year-old me and all of my 8-year-old friends, we used to go back into this area. We would pick all the berries off from the tree and we would hide behind the wall just waiting for somebody we knew to walk past. And when they did, we would just come piling over the wall, just shelling them with these little berries. It was amazing. I loved it. And see, I wanted to bring you back to that place, to the place where my faith story started, because this morning, that building, much like our building, will sit empty. It'll sit closed. But did you know that the way we're doing church right now, the way you're doing church right now, gathered together in your living room, maybe with your family or some of the roommates, the people that live with you, do you know the way we're doing church right now actually looks more like the way they did church in some of the first years of the church than what it probably even did a month ago? Because that first church, they also lived in scary times. But that first church didn't live in a world where they were scared of an invisible virus in the air. That's not what caused them to do church in their living rooms. But in their world, they had to do church in their living rooms because of a very visible enemy. It was a superpower empire of their day, a place by the name of Rome. And there are a number of things that Rome did that made it difficult for the church. See, one of the things Rome did is Rome was ruled by these rulers, these guys by the name of Caesar Augustus and Domitian and Vespasian and Nero. And kids, if you're watching, which one of those names do you think sounds the coolest? Augustus, Domitian, Nero. Go ahead and yell it out. But these rulers were not easy on the first followers of Jesus. In fact, one of the things that Rome did is Rome forced the people they ruled over to worship those leaders. And this first church, they said, we will not do it. That first church said, we worship God alone. We will not worship these leaders of Rome. Now, that did not make Rome very happy. And so what Rome did is Rome decided they need to punish these first followers of Jesus. And the way they did it is the Roman rulers actually prevented the Christians from being able to go to this thing called the Agora. It was essentially their marketplace. It was where their shops were. Think of it like the first century version of a mall. And the problem is that if you could not go into the marketplace, that meant you could not sell things and you could not buy things, which meant you could not have a job and you could not, if you could not earn money, you couldn't buy the things you needed to live. You couldn't buy food. You couldn't buy the things that you needed. Rome thought this would cause those first followers of Jesus to finally give in, to give up, and to start worshiping those rulers of Rome. But the church wouldn't do it. Those people that followed Jesus first, they would not give in and they would not give up. Because doesn't it feel like often those are the things that are easiest to do in the face of difficulty when things get hard? It feels like it's easy to give in. It feels like it's easy to give up, to just lose hope, to throw in the towel. And this morning I intended to bring you on a field trip and instead we're here in my living room. And I understand that for many of us, that's a really small thing. But for many of you, this is hard. Like, for some of you, you're kids and you're missing your friends and you're missing your teachers and wondering what this is going to look like. Are we going to be able to go back? Some of you, you're seniors and you were planning on walking into graduation with your peers, and now you're wondering what that's going to look like. And open houses that are coming later, what are those going to look like? For many of us, this has thrown us into a bunch of unknown. We're trying to figure out, what is tomorrow going to look like? What is 6 weeks from now going to look like? Because so many of us, this world that we're living in right now isn't how we'd intended it. I see those first followers of Jesus, I think they can teach us something. Because they didn't give in, and they didn't give up, they did not lose hope. And I want to talk just a little bit about why. Because the who of the way we're gathering this morning looks a lot like them. It's our close family, it's those we live with. Our where looks really similar to them. We're in our living rooms. But what I don't want to miss this morning is the thing that they held on to, the thing that gave them hope. Because see, what they understood is that although there was a lot of unknown, although the world around them was scary, they knew that their God was bigger, that their God was stronger, that whatever came, whatever happened, they knew that God held them in their hands, that God would be with them, and that God would see them through. They knew their God was bigger. And they also knew that they did not have to do it alone, that they had one another. See, there's this amazing thing that happened in that early church, that when Rome said, you may not enter the marketplace, so you may not sell or buy, what happened is that early church, they recognized in their community, they recognized, oh, hold on, that person's a farmer, and that person is a shepherd, and this person is a builder, and that person does this. And what they realized is that if they just all leaned in with one another, they would be okay. That they, essentially, the church created its own little marketplace where they would trade goods and things with one another. And then together, they were able to do it. They were able to make it through. I love, there's a story in the New Testament. It's in the book of Acts. So the New Testament is kind of towards the end of our Bible. It starts with the appearance of Jesus, with the birth of Jesus. And then the book of Acts largely talks about the beginning of the church in that first century world. And in Acts chapter 2, it says this. Acts chapter 2 started at verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Acts chapter 2 talks about that first church and how they were a community together. That they knew that God was stronger, that God was bigger, that God would see them through, and that they could lean in with one another, that as a community together, they could make it. It's actually, there's one other verse I want to read for us. It's something that the author of Hebrews also writes to that first church, to that early church. And in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, one quick thing. This, the author of Hebrews tells us not to stop meeting with one another. Now, what we shouldn't read this as is a green light to disobey all of the things that we're hearing about how physical distance is going to keep us and one another safe. But what we need to hear this as is the author of Hebrews, we need to connect that piece with the rest of the thought that the author of Hebrews is telling us to be a people who are encouraging one another, to be a people who are spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. The author of Hebrews is reminding us how deeply we still need one another, how deeply the church is more than a building or a service, that the church is a community of people gathered together for one another, to be the church for one another. See, that is why I wanted to bring you on that field trip this morning. That is why I wanted to bring you back to the church where I grew up at. Because I wanted to walk you to the doors of the very doors that I walked through the last time I went to that church. It was about a month and a half ago, and my family, we said goodbye to my grandpa. And we went to that church because not only did I grow up at that church, my parents grew up at that church. My grandparents all went to that church. I wanted you to walk you to the doors that I walked through a month and a half ago when we went there to remember and to celebrate his life. Because there was something in me about entering into that building. There were all the memories that came flooding back, that I was walking down the hallways that I used to run down as a kid. I was walking past the classrooms, and I could remember the Sunday school classes and the things that I did in each of those rooms. The place was filled with memories for me. But what was really powerful for me is when we got up to the sanctuary, to that worship, to the worship center, and as we walked in, as I walked past the aisle on the back right where my grandpa and grandma always used to sit, what I found in that space is I recognized so many of the faces in that room because so many of those faces were the faces of the people that I grew up with, of the people that are in the memories that I have in that building. And it was there that I was reminded of why the church matters so much. It was in that moment that I was reminded that it wasn't the building that made the memories important. But the building was the thing that held the memories, and what made the memories important were the faces and the names and the people that were in those memories. It wasn't the building that made the difference. It was the people. It was the community. It was the church that made those memories important. And for us, I think we can glean something. I think we can learn something from that first church. That in our world, even though our world might look different than their world, in a lot of ways, what we're living in right now looks pretty similar. And I think we need to hold on to those things that first church held on to, that in the face of whatever's coming, in the face of anything that we face, we know that God is with us, that God is bigger than it, that God is stronger, and that God still holds us in his hands. And we need to be reminded, even in this physical distance, that we need one another, that we are a community together, that there are still gaps, there are distances between us and one another that we can close. And I get we probably have to be a little more creative during this time to live into that. But I wonder if once we end, if you as a family, if you and your roommates, if you alone could sit down and even address three to five ways that your family can actually try to close this kind of social distance between you and one another. It might be picking up the phone and making a phone call. Maybe there's a conversation that's been long in coming. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's something my family and I have been doing. We've been scheduling times to turn on FaceTime or Zoom or Google Hangouts or whatever kind of video call you prefer. And we've actually been scheduling times to hang out with our friends over our computers in our living rooms. Maybe it looks like that. Or maybe it looks like signing up for one of the new things that we're launching this week, that here at Fairhaven, we are starting what we're calling virtual communities. Because we want to create space where we can come together socially, even in a space where we have to stay physically distant. And so we're launching what we're calling virtual communities. You'll actually find them, if you're watching this from the Facebook link, in the description you'll see a link to the virtual communities. Otherwise, you can find it under groups on our website. I'd love for you to sign up. It's a way for us to get together, to use technology in order to stay connected in this time of physical distance. But what are the ways that your family, that you might be able to draw closer to somebody socially during this time when we have to stay physically distant? And then also, as we end this service, I think it'd also be helpful for you and your family, your roommates, to answer a couple questions. First, what are the things that you're appreciating about home church, about doing this, what we're doing right now? What are the things that you enjoy, the ways that you're seeing God even in doing church like this? And then second, what are some of the things you're missing about being able to gather together as the larger church? What are some of the things you look forward to being able to do once we're able to gather together once again? And then third, the question that I just asked, how might, in this space of distance, of physical distance, how might you be able to stay socially connected to one another, recognizing again that God is bigger and that we need one another? And may you answer those things. And I want to close with just a blessing. It's some of my favorite words in scripture. It actually comes out of Numbers chapter 6. It's a blessing that God gave to one of the first priests, a guy by the name of Aaron. And God tells Aaron that it's through these words that God himself will bless his people, and through them, God will write his name on his people. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. God bless.